Over the past 6 months, the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty, or OCAP, has won a welfare increase for 4,000 poor people in Toronto. As a result, more than $1 million have gone back into poor communities. By holding numerous community clinics with local health providers, OCAP has registered thousands of welfare recipients for a previous little-known special diet supplement, amounting to an extra $250 per month. They have won this supplement on the basis that people's health is in danger due to inadequate welfare rates. OCAP's campaign is broadly supported by doctors, health experts, and organizations such as Daily Bread Food Bank. Dennis Raphael is a professor of health policy and management at York University. He spoke at a press conference that OCAP called last month, and he joins me now by phone this morning from Toronto. Hello, Dennis.
Hello.
To start out, can you explain what the special diet supplement is?
Well, what's particularly interesting about this is that the whole effort and focus was initiated by an organization that normally isn't known for being able to bring together health and medical professionals. What OCAP found when they reviewed some of the legislation was that there was a statement in the legislation that said that a health professional can, on the basis of a medical diagnosis, sign a form that allowed a person to get a special food supplement of $250 a month. Now, I would anticipate that this was probably something that originally was put in terms of some kind of dire medical condition where they recognized that the welfare payments were hardly enough to keep anybody healthy going, but someone who is profoundly ill would probably be really at risk. But OCAP basically made the case, and it was very quickly picked up by a lot of health professionals, which is quite an achievement, that the average person on welfare was being subjective to conditions that were of medical necessity, and that is the welfare payments are so low in Toronto and across the country as well that people's health is at risk. So they basically set up these clinics and found progressive health professionals who were willing to say that these people had a medical condition, and the medical condition was potential malnutrition and hunger.
What sort of things are people not getting in their diet?
Well, you know, if you actually sit down and look at the number crunching, I think the issue is a lot more than particularly diet. If you look at the income that is provided to a person on social assistance or a family on social assistance, and then you calculate what rent costs, and then you calculate what food costs, I think people are not only unable to afford decent food and therefore have to go use food banks, but I think the real issue is that their living conditions, not just their diet, is such that it's very difficult to maintain health.
And has the relationship between income and health been proven?
Well, I mean, this is something that's been known for at least, obviously, since the mid-1800s and certainly a lot earlier. In fact, if one were to go to the Health Canada website, you would find that the government of Canada has been churning out documents since 1974 that point out that income and living conditions are the primary determinants of whether one is healthy or not. And the research, no matter where it's done, always indicates that a person's income is far and away the most important determinant of whether people stay healthy or become ill. But that's a message that we never hear in the media, and we certainly, until now, have never heard it from the health professions or the public health community.
What's your particular interest in this supplement as a health policy specialist?
Well, for the last 10 years or so, I've been trying to put out the message that the deteriorating policy environment in Canada, especially Ontario, and from what I understand currently now in British Columbia, is that we're doing absolutely everything wrong in terms of promoting the health of the population. What's been particularly frustrating is that I had been receiving virtually no support from the public health community outside of a few isolated instances, of which the region of Interior Health in BC is one of the people that are coming along. But what's been so remarkable is while I had been receiving absolutely no support, no public statements from anybody, OCAP was able, through this campaign, to put together a coalition of healthcare providers, including four medical officers of health from different regions of Ontario, who have publicly gone on record saying that government policies concerning the amount of income being provided to people on social assistance are not able to maintain health. So it's a remarkable coming together of a very community-based activist organization such as OCAP that's been able to get real medical doctors and nurses and community health centers and the Daily Bread Food Bank and people like me to sign on and join them and support them in this campaign. And that's truly remarkable, considering the experiences I've had over the last 10 years.
So have you found that the role of good nutrition has generally been ignored for low income?
I think the role of everything has been ignored, whether it's income, housing, working conditions, family life, community life. For the most part, and anybody who reads the Globe and Mail or your local newspaper is well aware that we're subjected to a daily diet of exercise, diet, and tobacco as being the only things that matter. And despite what the research has been showing, and outside of a handful of public health units in Canada, that message is just not getting out. And I think it's primarily a political issue where public health units and physicians whose pay is from the governments that are doing these bad things have been very reluctant to speak out about these issues.
And so do they tend to then just ignore nutrition?
Well, what they do is, as anybody is aware, I think the issue isn't so much whether people eat fruits and vegetables as much as the fact that whether you're eating fruits and vegetables certainly doesn't hurt your health, but it's only the most tip of the iceberg indicator of the fact that people are experiencing general deprivation. I mean, I think nutrition is important. I think you don't want people going down to food banks. But if you drop fruits and vegetables into every poor area in British Columbia or Toronto or across Canada, by virtue of these people still living under conditions of poverty, you wouldn't see very much of an improvement in health. So I guess what I'm saying is the food supplement issue is interesting because it points to something that's so obviously an issue, and that is that people don't have enough food. But I would argue the primary issue isn't so much that people don't have enough for food, is that people don't have enough to live a healthy life, of which food is the most obvious and egregious example of what we're not providing families and people that are living on social assistance.
How did the City of Toronto respond when people became aware of their right to receive the special diet supplement?
Well, the most fascinating thing about all of this is the fact that you had people with MDs after their name signing off onto it really shook them. They're used to hearing from people like me and other social scientists, but when you actually get people from St. Michael's Hospital or the head of family medicine from St. Michael's, Phil Berger, signing on to this, they almost didn't know what to do, but their initial reaction was to make it much more difficult for people to sign on. They basically created regulations that really had no basis in law. First, they said only MDs can sign this, when the legislation pointed out that any health professional, dietitian, nurse, or doctor could do it. So there was a threat of taking them to court. There was some public outcry from the same 100 or so people that have signed the list. We have somewhat of a progressive city council, so pressure was put upon them, and then they backtracked. And then a week later, they added some other things into it. And again, there was a public outcry, and they backtracked again. I think that the fact that we have MDs and nurses and other people that are signing, and medical officers of health signing on to this, is something that the politicians are not used to having, and I'm not sure they know how to respond to it yet.
Are people becoming aware of their right to receive this special supplement?
Well, certainly I'm not in any favorite position. In many ways, I'm kind of a spectator of this. I certainly have the sense that OCAP is establishing clinics across the province. They certainly have felt empowered, and the people that have signed on to them have felt empowered by this. From my mind, it's the most exciting thing that I've seen in terms of anybody addressing the poverty and health relationship. And because of what's happening, we now have some people bringing the issue forward to the Toronto Board of Health with the assumption that hopefully they'll endorse this. And then, of course, you have the conflict between the Citizen Board of Health and the social services bureaucracy at City Hall, whose knee-jerk reaction is to resist this.
The National Council on Welfare says that Canadian welfare policy over the past 15 years has been an utter disaster. How do you view this health supplement in the context of that remark?
Well, the most maddening thing of all of this is that absolutely everybody, every politician, every prime minister, every provincial premier always goes on about how concerned they are about our health and how concerned they are about health promotion and making us the healthiest people in the world. Yet on the other hand, it is well established by the National Council of Welfare as well as numerous other organizations that public policy approaches towards people that are vulnerable and subject to health threats is absolutely the wrong thing to be doing. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Yet, for whatever reasons, they continue to do it. So in a sense, this is one of the few instances that we can point to of people, including the healthcare community, saying, we've had enough of this. We've had enough of this, and we need to expose what you're doing to people, and in a sense, opposing the hypocrisy and, some would argue, profound cynicism that permeates the health agenda in Canada.
Well, thank you for speaking with me this morning, Dennis.
Okay, thank you.
I've been speaking with Dr. Dennis Raphael. He is a professor of health policy and management at York University. You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.